Chapter 6. Helia, the Blessed Isles. They came for him in the hours before dawn. A fist hammered against his door, jolting Grail awake. He was on his feet in an instant, heart thumping. Flickering orange lamplight seeped under the door from outside. Someone stood just outside his room. The hammering came again, making him flinch. Dropping to the ground, he slipped a hand underneath his hard palate, searching blindly. His fingers brushed what he was seeking, a flensing knife he'd stolen from the kitchens a few days earlier. He pulled it free, licking his lips. The pounding sounded again, and Grail moved toward the door, clutching his knife. Steeling himself, he slid the bolt aside and eased the door open, blinking against the light. He kept his blade hidden from view.
Urlok Grail,
said a deep voice.
Yes,
he answered, squinting as he tried to make out the features of the dark silhouettes. There were two of them, a man and a woman. They were big, considerably larger than he was. That didn't concern him. If it came to it, a blade in the neck would drop anyone, no matter how much stronger they were. They were both carrying heavy-bladed halberds, however, and wore the ornate white breastplates and fluted helms marking them as custodians. That didn't bode well. Helia didn't have a city guard, but the custodians were about as close as it got.
You are summoned. Magister Nizana wants to speak with you.
The Magister.
Grail had never spoken with her directly, but knew of her, of course. She was the overseer of the thresholds, and all the wardens reported to her through the various prefects and administrators who served her. She had a reputation for being cold, ruthless, and uncaring toward those who fell underneath her authority.
What does she want?
The big man looked over at the other custodian, smirking and shaking his head.
I forgot to ask.
The woman snapped.
She wants to see you. Now. That's all you need to know.
Grail was still tightly gripping the flensing knife, held out of sight. Indecision tore at him. This summons likely had to do with Prefect Maxim's discovery of the books he had been secreting from the vaults.
How much does she know?
Let me dress,
he said, finally. The man glanced down at Grail's nightrobe, a look of disdain on his face.
Fine, but be quick.
Grail nodded and slammed the door in the custodians' faces. He stood there for a moment, running through every possible outcome. He then moved to his desk, put down his knife, and lit his lantern. He washed his face in the hand basin and dressed himself in his ornate warden's robes. He took his time, refusing to be rushed, despite the growled threats from the custodians outside his room. With a snap, he clicked his belt in place and looped his chains around it. The chains were hung with the many keys under his purview, and they rattled as he finished getting ready. He combed back his thinning hair and snipped a few errant whiskers with a tiny pair of silver scissors. He stared at the flensing knife for a heartbeat before sliding it into one of the many pockets in his robes. The custodians were glowering at him when he opened his door.
Ready? Or do you need me to give you a foot scrub first? Oh, perhaps you'd like me to run on up to the master's bathhouse, get you some of those scented oils for your perfect hair? What do you think?
That will not be necessary,
said Grail, ignoring the man's insolence.
Move.
In silence, they climbed up through the warren of tunnels, spiraling staircases, vaults, and passages toward the surface. The custodians walked with one in front and one behind him, like he was a prisoner. Perhaps he was. Grail did not know. He considered trying to make a break for it. If he could get away from them, he was certain he could lose them in the darkness below. He could probably remain hidden down there for months, but without access to the warden's kitchens, he'd surely starve. The sun was rising when they arrived at their destination. One of the custodians rapped sharply on the door, though not with the same aggression as when they'd woken him, and a voice inside ordered them in. Grail walked in first, and the custodians followed. Magister Nizana sat at her desk, a magnifying monocle strapped over one eye as she carefully pruned a tiny tree growing within a square, lacquered pot. Behind her was a lead-lined window looking out across the sea. The glare of the morning light made Grail squint. He couldn't remember the last time he'd seen a sunrise. There was no spare chair in the room, and so Urlok Grail stood and waited. The Magister didn't acknowledge his presence in any way. She was a severe-looking woman with hair as pale as spider silk, pulled back in a tight bun. She could have been 40, or she could have been 70. She remained intent on her pruning, clipping away the odd shoot or leaf with deft snips of her tiny shears. Grail glanced at the custodians standing just behind him, but they stared resolutely forward, like the Magister's dutiful guard dogs. Turning back toward the Magister, he watched as she continued her work.
You wanted to see me?
Magister Nizana didn't look up.
This tree may be small, but it is over 300 years old. Ah, remarkable, isn't it? And do you know what the key to its longevity is?
Grail stared at her, brow furrowed.
I do not.
Cutting away the weaknesses. A tree has only so much energy to spend. Of course, sunlight, water, and nutrients help. But if left untended, the tree will waste precious energy producing leaves and branches that will weaken its integrity. Weaken its aesthetic.
As decided by you.
What?
Nizana looked up for the first time. Her monocle lens made her right eye appear gigantic.
You say it weakens the aesthetic, but that's only to your eye. Your opinion. What does the tree care?
She sniffed and turned her gaze back to the tree to continue her work.
I ensure its roots get the water they need. I ensure it receives the sunlight it craves. It lives or dies by my whim. To this tree, I am God. I would say my opinion is the only one that matters.
Urlok Grail frowned, seeing multiple weaknesses in the Magister's argument, but he thought better of pointing them out. It would not serve to antagonize her.
The Wardens of Thresholds are like this tree. I tend to them, nurturing them, feeding them, and sometimes I need to prune a leaf here, a branch there, for the health of the whole.
She removed her monocle, carefully set it into a leather-bound case, and clipped it shut. Then she moved the miniature tree to the side and turned her full attention to him. She steepled her fingers and leaned toward him, elbows on the desk.
Do you know why you are here?
Grail licked his lips. His hands found the pockets in his robes. Without conscious thought, his fingers closed around the handle of his flensing knife. The Magister arched her eyebrows.
Well?
I do not, Magister,
Grail said, without blinking. Magister Nizana made no reaction, and her cold demeanor gave away nothing.
Do you know what the punishment is for taking things from the vaults without permission?
Grail tensed.
Books, for instance,
she added pointedly.
Banishment,
said Grail, not breaking eye contact.
Banishment. One little snip, and the offending leaf is gone. In the past, some magisters were more lenient than I. They preferred to reserve banishment only for the worst offenses. But I believe that attitude, that laxness, is too ambiguous. It does little to dissuade people. Worse, it encourages them.
Grail stared at her, unmoving. His fist tightened around the blade.
When did you last see Prefect Maxim?
A week ago.
The Magister watched him closely, saying nothing. After a moment, she stood and moved to her window, gazing out across the ocean.
Prefect Maxim is missing. Do you know anything about that?
Missing?
Said Grail, brow furrowing.
I don't understand. Is he sick?
No, he is not sick. He is missing. Gone.
Gone where?
A number of forbidden tomes, stolen from sealed vaults, have been found within his cell. I take it you don't know anything about those either.
No, Magister,
he said, shaking his head. She turned back to face him, and he tensed again. Was this the moment? Was this when she would finally tire of toying with him and order him seized?
Perhaps he knew his indiscretions would be discovered, and he fled rather than facing the consequences.
She gave a shrug.
Sometimes a leaf falls before it can be cut.
Grail released his grasp on the knife, his eyes lit with hunger as the Magister produced a large iron ring from a pocket in her robes. Dozens of keys hung from it.
These keys belong to Prefect Maxim. Now they are yours.
Mine,
breathed Grail, not taking his eyes off them.
Of those under Maxim's command, you have served the longest. Therefore, his duties are now yours. Congratulations, Warden Prefect Grail.
With new keys hanging from his chains, Warden Prefect Grail made his way through the darkness, a satisfied smile twisting his lips. He hummed as he walked down through Undercrofts, the forgotten tunnels, the rarely used passages, deeper into one of the oldest parts of the vaults, where he doubted anyone other than he had been for years. At the entrance to one long, narrow corridor, he knelt, holding his lantern to the floor. He had sprinkled salt here a few days earlier and was pleased to see that it remained undisturbed. No one had come through here. Satisfied, Grail continued down the passage, crunching over the scattered salt. There was a jaunty spring in his step. Things were finally starting to go his way. At the end of the corridor, he came to a locked door. He produced a large key and the mechanism clicked as he turned it in the lock. Still humming, Urlok Grail stepped into the cell. The stink of blood and foulness washed over him, its intensity stinging his eyes. A sturdy wooden bench was situated on one of the cell's walls. All manner of butcher's knives, cleavers, and blacksmith pincers were carefully laid out upon the bench in order of size. Grail picked up one of them. It was his favorite, a cruel, curving sickle, its edge razor sharp. There was a whimper from the shadows on the far side of the cell. Grail smiled at the wretched, broken figure chained to the wall, waving the curved sickle before him.
Good morning, Prefect Maxim.